So we're doing now Perchaf. Okay, Melachim Aleph Perchaf. This is kind of an extended story about, I guess you could say, about Achav's downfall. Okay. So, but it's a little bit extended. So we'll see what we cover tonight. You know, see what problems we do. We'll see.
You okay?
So it says, Ben Hadad Melach Aram Kavatz Es Kal Chelam. So Ben Hadad was the king of Aram. Okay, and our Jews. He gathered his, all of his army. Ushloshim Yishmai Melach Ita. And 32 kings with him. Sus Varacha. Right, horses and chariots. Vayal Vayazra Al Shama. And he besieged Shama. Vayad Vayilachimba. And he fought a wage war against it. So now the Jews are getting attacked by this strong, strong, big army. And he sent messengers to Achav, to the city. So says Ben Hadad, your money, your gold, and your silver is mine. And your wives and your good sons, they're mine. Okay? Yeah. I guess the good ones. They translate here, the beautiful ones. But just it means the ones, good workers, good servants, beautiful, that kind of thing, you know? Layam Melech Yisrael Vayomer, Kidvarcha Adoni Melech, as you speak. Okay, because basically here he is, he's threatening him. He has this big army. He says, listen, I'm going to take all your stuff. He's okay. What do I know? V'cha ani v'cha sheli. Okay, I am to you, everything to me is all yours. We'll be your servants, we'll be your, you know, subordinates. What are we going to do? We can't fight you guys. You guys are too big, too strong. So says Ben Hadad, he says, this is what Ben Hadad said. Just like I sent you saying, your silver and your gold and all your wives and your sons are to mine. Tomorrow, this time tomorrow, I'm going to send my servants to you. They'll search out your house. And the house of your servants. And anything they want, anything they treasure, they want, they'll be able to take, and their hands will put their hands on it, and they'll take it. So this is, I guess, a little bit more than just saying that you guys will be like a tributary, you'll be under us. Now it's saying we're going to come and pilfer, you know, take everything you have. Right? So it's, it says here they want to say there's a Torah. So there's a drash, they say.
Remind you of Jeff's time.
Yeah. Right. Right, so besides the gold and silver, they're just going to take all your stuff. They're just going to totally, you know. Okay. So, Vayikra Melech Yisrael Chol Tiknei Yaretz, Vayomer De'una Ru'u, Ki Ro'a Zem Vakesh. Okay, because you should see that he's seeking out evil. Ki Shalach Eilai L'Nasha L'Vanayu Kaspi L'Zahavi. He asked originally for my sons and daughters, and they still didn't hold it back. And he's even asking more. This is crazy. He's not coming with peace. He wants to basically, he's making requests. That's impossible. Right? Don't listen to him. Okay, this is too much. This is crazy. You can't do this. You can't let him into our houses and take everything. And, right? He says, don't listen. Vayomer l'malachi ben Hadad, Imru l'adoni ha-melech. That which you asked for originally, I'll do. I can't do this. So this is too much. I can't do it. So they went back and they told him. So shall the gods do to me. And they'll continue. Im yishpok afar shomon l'sha'olim. If the earth of Shomron suffice for the footsteps, the Cholam Hashem Ragli, all the people that are with me. In other words, it's some sort of like trash talking. Basically, you don't have enough dirt for all my soldiers. As they say, it's like you guys are, you realize how much we outnumber you, it's crazy. Right? Even if we'd put on all the dirt in your feet on the shoes of all our soldiers, it's still not going to be enough. Oh, hold on. Hello? So when Hadad says back, he says, listen, if all the dirt in your town would be on the shoes and the boots of our soldiers, it still wouldn't be enough. There'd be enough dirt. We have so many soldiers that we're totally outnumbering. You guys are crazy. What are you going to try to resist? It's impossible. So, Vayanu El Yisrael. So Acho said, Vayomer, Dabru. Okay, say, Al Yishal Cholger Kemachteach. Okay, that means one who girds the sword. Okay, one who is coming in with a sword shall not boast like one who already won. It's like you make it like you already won. You haven't won this war yet. What are you talking like, you know? You're going to war and you're talking as if you already won your war. Let's go to war and we'll see what happens. Right? And let's talk back to him, right? This is like good back and forth trash talking, you know? So, Mahikishma is a davar hazeh. So you could imagine he wasn't happy. I don't know how they heard this.
Achum knows that he's a chotei machti.
Yeah.
He knows that the Nevi'im and Hashem are not on his side.
Right. Well, and here, I guess he asked as a Canaan. I guess he asked as a Canaan, and they said, just go for it. You know, this can't happen.
Well, he asked as a Canaan.
Yeah, but Amram Zichal Zikne Aras, he asked as Zikne Aras, and they said, don't do it, we can't let this happen. So he says, so when Hala heard this, who shows that he was drinking Huva Malachu Masukos? Vayomer Alavadav Simu. Go ahead, go. Lay it on. Vayasimu Alavadav. They went to the city. V'hine Navi Echa Nigash Al Achav Melech Yisrael. There was a Navi that came and approached Achav. Vayomer Komar Hashem. Haru'iso Es Kalamon Agalazah. Have you seen Sosah Hashem? Have you seen this great nation? Hine Nu Nosno V'yadcha Hayom. We're going to place them in your hands today. V'yadata Ken Yashem. And you're going to know that I am Hashem. In other words, right? Ayomar Achav, b'mi? Achav said, well, who's going to be the general? He realized, really? Are you serious? Is going to give them to me? My hands? Who's the general? Ayomar, komar Hashem, b'narei sarei hamedinos. It's going to be, I'm sorry, now who's going to be the general? I'm sorry, who? Who are you going to give them into? So he says, by the youths of the sarei, the officers of the medinos. Ayomar, mi yasar hamelcham? Who's going to command the battle? Now who's going to be the general? Ayomar, I'll tell you. You're going to be the batter. You're the general. Okay? So sure enough, I have got us Nare Saramdinos. So he counted all the Sar, the youths of the governors. There was 232. Acharayim pakaras kol ha'am kol b'nei shal shivat alafim. And afterwards he counted all the rest of the people. There were 7,000. Okay, they say these were the 7,000 people who didn't do that at the Baal, remember? That was in the previous thing. They said the 7,000 people who didn't bend the Baal are going to be saved. So they say these are the 7,000 people. Okay? I guess he figured that God is going to do, it's going to be, these are, right? And as he basically thought that, he thought that the God is going to do it in Ace to Kali Yisrael, not to him, right? But he says, no. He is. He's going to be the guy. Okay? Fine. But I guess it's hard to, I don't think it means these were all entire Klal, but these were the 7,000 people who didn't die in the Baal, and apparently these are the ones they wanted to send. Right, the Ksher. Okay, so what happened? So, Vayetsu was alright, and they went out in the afternoon, right? And Hadad shows us Shikor Vasukos, and he was drinking.
Why are they changing their tune now? Now they are acting like they do have strength.
The Jews?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like Ben-Hadda basically came clear that he's making these ridiculous demands, and it came to a point where they weren't. I guess they give in only at a certain point. If he wants to be, take them as a tributary and a certain amount of control they take. But once he wants to come into their houses and start ripping apart their houses, then he says, listen, we can't, we're going to fight a war now. We can't, there's a certain part amount you're just not going to allow. It's not worth fighting a war if all you want is just our gold and silver. But once you want to start coming into their houses, it's too much. So he says, what's that? We're not going to stand up. And then there's a Navi Hashem, told him that you guys are going to win. So then he really went out.
Where was Aram? How far from?
I don't know. I don't know. Your geography.
Persia? Is that Iran?
Aram, here. On the map, they're up here. See?
Too close.
Up here. And the Jews are like down here and here. So they're, you know, not too far. I guess they must have been approaching it, you know. Okay?
Okay.
So then it says like this. So it says, Vahizu Tsarayim, Vahano, the Shoshas Shikor, Vasuko. So he was drunk, drinking himself drunk. Huva Malachim, Shoshas Shanayim, Malachim, Zero, also. So him and the 32 kings that were helping him, they were all drinking, getting drunk, you know. Vahizu Naroi Tsarayim, you know, it's where he's shown. And first these leaders, these, you know, young youths of the governors, were given out first. Vahishach Ben Hadad, Vahigidu Lemar, and Nashni Yotz Mishom. So they told Ben Hadad that there are men coming from Shomron. If they're coming for peace, tifsim chayim, grab them alive. And if they come for war, alive you shall grab them. In other words, either way, just grab them alive. This is basically like a way of saying it's just whatever it is, just get them. Okay, whether they come for war, for peace, just grab them. Yeah. He basically thought these guys, he's not totally unafraid of them, totally not worried, like with Gaiva, just grab them. Okay, they're alive, they're going for war, for peace, I don't really care, just grab them. And sure enough, they came out of the city with all their warriors. And sure enough, they killed, each man killed his opponent, so they come into the war, like at that combat, all the Jewish ones killed all their enemies against them. And Aram realized, they ran away. The Jews chased them. So Ben Hadad ran away on his horse and his chariots. Okay, they ran away. The king Achav came out. They came and they basically took a major blow to Aram. Okay, that's nice. So the Navi came back to Achav. Make yourself strong. You should know and you should see that which you're going to do. Because at the end of the year, the king of Aram is going to come up against you again. And the servants of the king of Aram told him, Elo Kei Horim Elo Keiam. Their God, the Jewish God, is the God of the mountains. Akeim Chazkimenu, that's why they won. We fought on the mountains. Ulam Nilachim Yitam Bamishor. We'll fight in the plain. You'll see, we'll be able to beat them. It was bad. Their God is the mountain God. That was a mistake. We made a mistake. We came to fight on the mountains. You gotta fight them in the plains. And as Dovar Zal say, if you do this, Haser Malachim Yishmi Mekomo V'Sim Pachas Tachtayim. And do this. Remove the kings, Yishmi's place, and put officers instead of them. Some say that they thought that the people were haughty because they had these strong, powerful kings. So put normal officers and they'll go to war. V'ato Timna Elecha Chayel Kachayel Anofel Me'ozcha Vasus Kasus V'Rechav K'Rechav, and give the same size army as we fought last time. Horse for horse, chariot for chariot, v'nilachmo, some we shall fight in the plain, and lo nef like ma'am, and we'll see, we'll beat him. V'yishmal ha'kol olam v'yasuk. So we listen to their voice, and sure enough, we did it. Okay?
You mean, like,
one important
advantage?
No, about the plains?
Yeah.
I guess he says, yeah, they're superstitious. They said, look, the Jews have they're the mountain god, they're a mountain god, that's it. And they kind of said, yeah, they got lucky that time. They had the mountain god on their side, will go to the plains, and the Jewish god, you know, just like the way I thought it was like, you know.
Doesn't mean, though, that, like, they're more familiar with, like, mountain terrain?
I don't think so. I think they really mean, like, their god is, like, this way they think. You know, oh, yeah, you got lucky, it was Tuesday, you know, the Tuesday warriors, you know, I don't know. People think, you know, it's a way of thought thinking, you know. I'll be in pause for a minute. I just want to go to put the... So what happens? Let's keep going. So then it says like this. Sure enough, it was it next year that time. Vayivko ben Hadar es Aram. So we counted Aram. Vayal afeko l'machal Yisrael. So he went to war against the Jews in afeko. Vnei Yisrael, nefek. Vnei Yisrael is fakidu v'chalkalu. The Jews were counted and they took food. Vayilchul across them, they came to greet them. Vayachnu Vnei Yisrael negdam kishnei chush. So the Jews were like two flocks of goats, and Aram filled the whole land. I guess it's showing the difference in size between the two. like two flocks versus like this whole massive group that fills the whole land. Okay? Fine. Totally outnumbered. Okay, totally outnumbered. So it says like this. Vayigash ish ha'elokim, ayomer melech Yisrael. So the Navi came and said to Achav, ayomer, ko mar Hashem, yana sharmu aram elo, he harim Hashem. Because they said he's the God of the mountains and not the God of the valleys, because of that, I'll show them that this is not true. They can't have this idea about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if it's, you know, they're making him into an idolatry. So it'll be, I'll show them, because of that, I'll show them, that's why I'll beat them. L'shem Hashem, Kadosh Hashem, not because of a czar. They camped against each other for 7 days. The war came close. They killed 100,000 people in one day. Okay, so the Jews against Aram. And then the rest of them ran to the city. And the wall fell on 27,000 remaining people. Okay, there was a nace. Fell on 27,000 people.
Not the first time a wall fell.
No. Hey, Richa. Hey, Mommy here?
What?
Your mommy home?
Yeah.
What? How did you get here?
Naomi's mother.
Okay. So sure enough, the wall, so again, there's a miracle, it fell on another 27,000 men. And Ben Hadad escaped. And he went to some inner chamber. He went hiding. He was saved. Right, so now they're stuck. Basically, the Jews are going to come get him. Right, Ben Hadad is going to be dead. Right, it's going to be great. So the servants of Ben-Hadad said, listen, you know, we heard that the servants of the Jewish kings are very good, kind kings. Let us put sackcloth on and ropes on our heads. Let's go out to the king. Maybe he'll let you live. Perhaps. Right, perhaps the Jewish king will be compassionate on you. Sure enough, they did that. Okay, yeah, can you just tell Shmuel that mommy's coming home? Thanks. Yeah, so sure enough, they did that. Vayavoh Melech Yisrael. Your servant Ben Hadad said, please let me live. Ayomer, he said, Odenu Chai Achihu? Is my brother still alive? Is he still alive, my brother? My brother means my counterpart. Right? But that the word slipped out that they related to him like a brother. They took it like an omen, like a sign. And they basically they went along with his, followed his lead. Your brother Ben Hadad, yes. He says, come, take him. They brought up Ben Hadad, and they put him up on the chariot. And they said, Ben Hadad said, the cities that my father took from your father, Ashev, I'll give back. The Chutzos, Tosim Yisrael, Abedameshek, Kasher Sam Avi B'Shomron. I'm going to make streets for yourself in Damascus, just like my father made in Shomron. Aniva Bris, Ashev, I will make a peace treaty, I'll send you off in peace. Vayechros Lo Bris, Vayechal Chayim. You looking for?
Yeah, where'd you go?
And he made a peace treaty and he sent them off. Okay, so this is good move, bad move? Not too good. Ve'ish echar v'ibnei ha-Nevi'im amar el re'ayu v'dvar Hashem. One of the Nevi'im, one of the men from the Nevi'im said to in Dvar Hashem, now that she doesn't have anything, right? So, hakeni na. So one of the Nevi'im said to the other person, he says, hit me. Hit me. Give me a best shot. He wouldn't do it. Okay? He didn't want to hit a Navi. It's a funny story. Because he didn't listen to the word of Hashem. You're going to leave from me and a lion is going to eat you. Not the first time a lion ate somebody either. He went to him and said, okay, lion got him and ate him. He found another man. Vayomer hakeni na, hit me. You know, you think this guy listened after the lion? Vayakehu ish, hakehu futso. So the man hit him and is bleeding. Like he's, he made a wound. Okay, where's this going? Right. Vayelach hanavi vayamol lamelach al hadarach. So the navi went and he stood in front of the king. Vayischapes ba'efer aleinach, and he put some sort of a band. Or a cloth, they call it here, a headband over his eyes. Like he disguised himself. He made it that you can't tell who he was. And when the king was passing, who saw Gilgal HaMelech, he cried out to the king, your servant, I went out into the war, and a man came over to me, and he brought me a captive. Guard this man. If you'll be missing, then I'm sorry. If I get your pocket, watch him for me. If you'll be missing, if you lose him, then you're going to die instead of him. Oh, kikar kasev tishkol, or else you're going to have to pay out a lot of money. Kikar kasev. But he had the chos. Anyway, you know, I'm sure enough. I was busy. I was doing stuff. But when I know, all of a sudden he disappeared. I lost him. You pronounce your mishpat. You agree to it. That's the deal. The deal's the deal. So then he pulled off his headband off his eyes. So then the Melech Yisrael realized that he's one of the Nevi'im. So says Hashem. It's a funny type of a mashal going on here, right? Yan shilachta es ish chermi miyad. Because you sent, can you get past it? Oh. Because you released the man who I designated for destruction from your hand, right? And I basically was sent Aaron to be the king of Melech ben Hadad to be killed. Because you sent him away, and your nation is going to be instead of his, and your soul instead of his. He went home very angry, sad and upset. And he went to Shomron. Okay? That's the end of this part of the story. So the mashal is somehow that Hashem told you to give you over this nation and you're going to go and kill them. And now here it is, you're leaving the king alive. What's wrong with you? You know? You had him. And you agreed that you'd, you agreed that you're going to destroy them. That was the whole plan here. Right? Whereas that's what he said. Lamel, he says, because he said, Okay, Harim Hashem, and Asadi is Kalamon Agadot Viyadchavi, Adat the Kini Hashem. Right? So presumably that meant also to kill Ben Hadad. Right? Okay, so what do you think about this whole story here?
I mean, the first part made a lot of sense, but then...
Which first part?
Like, the back and forth about the war.
Right. They can destroy them and all that.
Yeah. And then once they got into this whole thing of Ishach and Nathan,
it's a little weird.
I think it's hard to understand.
So there should be a box. Is there a box in the hallway?
What?
In the hallway, is there a box there or no? Right, yeah.
basically, he's like, what's he doing exactly?
Right. What's this whole thing? It seems like he's trying to teach something to Ahab, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to that other line story, in a way.
Right. Right, there's some lesson going on here, right? Presumably you have to figure out what the lesson is, but... What's interesting about this whole story is, like, why was Ahab the ruler general here, right? Because it seems like God's going to do an ace for Klal Yisrael to save them, because there's 7,000 people and there's some tzaddikim here, right? And they're Klal Yisrael. And Eliyahu actually, remember, just... This is the follow-up from Eliyahu, getting all the people to accept Hashem Elokim. So Ahab had a good Havimina. Well, who's going to be the general? Me? I'm not a tzaddik here. That's what I was saying. Was he confident he's going to be the guy?
Isn't there a halacha that even in Muhammad's mitzvah, if you are afraid,
then you don't go. Yeah.
Then you don't have to go.
Yeah. It's true. So what's the deal? What's the plan? Why is it God's plan that Ahab's going? Right? And you see, he was supposed to go and lead him to victory. But it turns out, he seemed to fail in this plan. And as we'll see later, he's going to end up paying for it. I mean, leaving him, you know, leaving the bad guy alive never works out. You know? It's always a mistake. You know? So what was the chet? What was the chet here? You know? How are we to understand the chet? What was the deal? Why did he do that, you know?
Well, the king escaped, not that he didn't leave him alive. It sounded like he escaped.
Well, the king came to him and begged and appealed to his mercy and said, please save me, I'm your brother, and that kind of thing.
Oh.
He said, okay, fine. He dressed up in sackcloth. He humbled himself before the king. He said, listen, I hear the Jewish kings are very kind kings, so let me try to appeal to their, you know.
Thing with
Isha
Elohim, where he's the one guy
is
supposed to walk the other guy.
Yeah, he says, "Hit me."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like parallel?
Yeah. Why was that? Why did you do that? It's true. What was the whole point of that?
To letting God.
And I forgot. They explained why he did that, right? Why not just go to the king and say the story? Would you have to? Oh, you had to look like he was coming from war, I guess, in order to basically show him his lesson. He's like pretending.
So he's showing a lesson.
He's teaching him a lesson by saying, by giving him a mashal, and basically, you know, it's parallel, yeah.
But you're responsible to...
Yeah, right, you're responsible. But he says he let Ahav declare his own din, so to speak. You know, that, listen, you took responsibility to be the watchman of this good guy. You should have carried through your job, and you didn't. So he's saying, oh, you Ahav, you also... It's not exactly parallel, right? He's not exactly watching someone. He's supposed to kill the gang.
Right.
Like, as he's saying, and also the guy agreed to the terms of the deal. It's not like Ahab said, I'm going to kill him, otherwise you're going to kill me, or something, you know? But I guess he's saying that it's implied that's what's going on here. God entrusted you to be the leader here. He meant to destroy them. He didn't mean to destroy them and leave their leader alone. Leaving leaders alone is not a good idea. It's a bad idea. They're the leaders. They're the people who know how to make people fight. And in general, you got to kill the leader. You see, by Agag also, that was a mistake by Shaul, you know? Like, leaders are powerful people.
And it wasn't like, it sounded like in the beginning he was the aggressor. He was the one who initiated this whole thing.
And Hadad. Seems right. That way, right? It's true. But why did he fall? What was their plan? He says, we heard they're Malchei Chesed. They're kind. And, whoops. That they're kind kings. And also that they like put on sackcloth, he said, achi, he appealed to them, you know. So what does that mean that they're Malchei Chesed? It doesn't sound to be like a very good thing here, no? Chesed doesn't seem to have been a good midah here. Although it does seem like it was Chesed, right? Yeah, right. You're right. It's true. You can't be Malchei and Achsa, right? It's true. Yeah, it does seem to be like a misplaced, right? Misplaced type of a chesed.
But everything about Ahab is misplaced. Right. He seems like just everything he does.
Right, it's true.
Why is he
follow what Hashem is being told them to do.
What do you think he means here by this thing of the Malchei Yisrael and Malchei Chesed? Isn't that interesting? So here they're kind kings.
Just like an appeal, no?
Yeah, but he was telling this to his servants and saying, this is why we should make this plan. So it wasn't like he was telling this to Achav. He was saying why we should do this. Like, it doesn't seem like this type of...
He made away with it because he knew that the reputation...
Right. Of the kings was kind.
The process, the way the Jewish people select a king is that they always select somebody who can write down, say, the Torah or whatever.
Yeah, well, let's go through the Yerusha. But it does seem, though, is like this wouldn't exactly fly on a barbaric king. Barbaric kind of king, you come to him and he cuts off your head.
Yeah.
Right? There's no, you don't do this stuff. But they knew that the Jews were nice kings. But does this nice king thing seem to be like a good thing here? No. It doesn't seem so. It seems like there's a kind of like a mentality of like almost like a liberal mentality, you know? Like very nice to our enemies, and we'll befriend them, and we'll let them attack us, and we don't want to be too mean to them. And like, yeah, right. It's a Christian value of like, it's like a misplaced niceness. Like, there's no virtue in being nice. They don't want to be subjugated. But then you could just say they were afraid. That wasn't niceness. They were just afraid. They were totally outnumbered, you know? But the idea of nice is like there's an idea of being nice, which is like, and I think that's the idea. I'll mention Kol Rachim Al Achzor or Sofa or something. I don't know. If that exactly goes.
Sofa,
yeah. Achzor Al. Yeah. Yeah, so it's, but the point is that we don't value niceness per se. Niceness is in general, I mean, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu, in general it's a good thing, but it has to be tied in with one's avodas Hashem, and with this person, look, God does also chesed to people, and it's important to do chesed, but not to a rasha, not to their enemy, who is totally brutal, and he wants to destroy you, like, you know, wants to come and totally take over the whole Am Yisrael, and be Mechal Hashem, and he's over to the Zara, and, you know. But he says that he knew the kings were nice. The Jewish kings were nice. And I think it's exposing an idea of like it's a negative. And a person can't be too nice. That's not good. That's not a good trait. And that's like a liberal trait now. You know, it's like a common thing nowadays, you know. You're nice even though someone's your enemy. But that really we led to his downfall. And it seemed like that's what Achav did. Achav turned away from the Torah. From the true Torah values. He is that person, you know.
Not like
she
put her diaper, but she
also pooped it up all
over
her pants. Double whammy. Oh, man. Do you have? I think I have some in the stroller. Yeah, so what's interesting is that it seems to be like the Torah, there is an idea of chesed in Klal Yisrael. And like it seems almost like Achav gave up Torah, but he maintained like the outside, external values of Torah, like chesed, you know, which is like interesting, you know. Like there's an idea of like it could be that's an idea of a liberal Jew sometimes has, you know. Yeah, so it's interesting. It seems like that Achav was like that. He kind of partook of some of the superficial values of the Torah. Not the true values, but he took like the emotional appeal of being nice, compassionate. But he didn't really have the true depth of it. Our compassion stems from God's compassion. And to be compassionate on a rasha, on your enemy, is ridiculous. Totally antithetical. But it's like he abandoned Torah and he went towards Avodah Zarah, but he still was Malchei Yisrael and he still kind of partook of the, you know, the external values which Jews have. And you see, Ben Hadad, he played on that. He knew about that. And he knew he could appeal to that. And he said, Achi, try to draw out his compassion, his identification with him, and he tried to subordinate it. He faked him out. But that's like, it's very similar to what they do, you know. what the, you know, the Arabs do to the Western world in general. You know, there's this like Christian guilt and compassion and all that, and they just appeal to it and they play into it and they, you know. So it seemed like that was this basically, and it seems like here is that the Jews, the plan, it doesn't seem like God wanted it that the Jews would be victorious and Achil would be sitting on the side. Right? That's interesting. It's like, why is he the leader? But it just doesn't seem like the Jewish people has a king. And if the people is victorious, the king is victorious. And you can't separate the people from the king, because he's the king. And if you're going to make the Jewish people win, it's true you can make the king win, but ultimately you see that God put it into the bechira of the leader. God wasn't going to make them victorious despite the king. Because a success to the Jewish people is a success to the king. And if the king's a Rasha, and the king can't see through this, can't see truth, can't see the idea of Kiddushim Shemayim, and can't see Abinadot's corruption and choose properly, then it's going to end up backfiring. It's not, you'll see, and it doesn't lead to, ultimately it doesn't end up being successful. Okay, even though there was a short-term success, but this was a mistake. This was a bad mistake, and it seems like he was the leader, but he had to, it seems like Hashem wanted him to play a role in the, you can't just factor out the king, because then the Jews are going to be successful, and it's not going to go down as the success of the Jews who didn't worship Baal, it's going to be the success of Achav, because he's the king. And even if he's sitting on the side, he'll write it down in the books, he'll proclaim the victory of the Jewish people, and bottom line is, without his involvement, his bechira, the Jewish people, God is that. So he thought, listen, God doesn't like me, forget it, just forget about me, let the Jews win, at least he'll benefit from the Nadad and Aaron being out. But no, apparently God held, is that God set it up, that Ben Hadad, then Achav had to be part of it. He had to be there, he had to be in the war, it's his war, he's the king, it's his nation. God will help them, will make them successful. He'll show Achav true ideas, because they're saying he's the God of the mountains and not the God of the, you know, trying to help lead Achav to recognize a true idea. And then he gave him the situation to act on it, and you see he failed. You know, he failed. And that's what basically the Navi back said to him. He says, because of the fact that you did this, so God's going to end up, right? He gave him this mashal. I mean, maybe we can analyze mashal a little bit more. What he basically showed him is that you had your chance, you were put in a position where you were given Ben Hadad to bring about this ultimate Kiddush Hashem of God's power, and you chose wrong, and because of that, that's it. You're going to lose. It's not going to work out for you. And he was very depressed by that. It's interesting why you needed this whole story of the Navi and the Eye. It's a pretty simple point. You know, you have to like, usually use a muscle and you think someone's not going to hear the point. Like, what point is so difficult here? And how is this mashal going to really, you know, make him see it? So maybe we could try to think about that the next time, see if we can come up with, a better analysis of that second half of the story, you know? It's a funny thing, you know? The black eye, you know, the bleeding, you know, I don't know.
It's like a person who was Ahab, who takes sort of like a superficial...
Right.
Might be hard for him to
see the point.
Like see the point if it was harder.
Right, okay, but then I guess the question is, so what is the point? And why is this story, it's a little different, first of all. I mean, you could, if it's so thick, maybe you won't even see it. Apparently this story was properly designed to help him see the point, and then what was the point, and how is the story gonna break through his, you know? You see, he heard the point, because then he was very depressed and whatever. It sounds like he did hear the point. But I guess we have to, analyze it a little more. All right.